From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Work of the Holy Spirit in Regeneration. In this message, Dr. Cairns is calling attention to the work of the Spirit in the lives of individual men. We've seen that the Spirit's work in regeneration is a necessary act, for man can do nothing to save himself. Also, it is a gracious act. No man deserves salvation. Yet God is pleased to save sinners, to give eternal life to those who deserve eternal damnation. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, Is Jesus commanding self-mutilation in Matthew chapter 5, verse 30? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
When the Lord Jesus says, if your hand offends you, cut it off, is he really commanding self-mutilation? Is he saying that if you cut your hand off, you have a better chance of going to heaven? I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. There are occasions, and we use this in everyday life, when the use of deliberately extreme language actually points up the argument a whole lot more forcefully. And I think that's exactly what the Lord was doing. After all, when you look at the language in itself, say you did chop off your hand, would that really lessen your desire or ability to sin? I don't think so, because Jesus says these things flow out of the heart. Furthermore, in the resurrection, when the body is raised, would you be raised minus a hand? Again, I don't think there's any biblical evidence for that. What I'm saying is that the evidence is the Lord Jesus is speaking here in a way that's meant to get attention. It is meant to be a sort of extreme or over-the-top expression. Just as, for example, I said when I was taking people down to Florida in summertime and seemed to appreciate it, and there was I burning up in the heat with a blazing headache. I said to my wife, if ever you hear me invite anybody to come to Florida again in the summertime, blow my brains out. Now, I was not inviting her to commit murder. It was an extreme statement to make a point. And I think that's what you've got here. And the point that the Lord Jesus is making is a very, very valid point. And it's a very vital point that sin has consequences. Sin leads to hell, and whatever it costs to escape hell is a cost well paid. That's the real force. So don't be putting anything before the salvation of your soul. And if you get that out of what the Lord Jesus is teaching, then you've got something vital. You can't buy your salvation. But there is a price in following Christ. And he said, if you don't count that cost, you can't be his disciple. Whatever the cost, no matter how extreme it may sound to be, make sure you let nothing keep you from following Christ. Let nothing keep you from heaven. Because 1 second in hell will make you realize you made a very, very bad bargain.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Is made to feel his utter sinfulness and ill desert, that man will go on in his darkness and go on in his madness. But what can deal with a dead man? What can lighten the darkness of the heart and the mind that's enmity with God? What can dispel the madness and the badness of the unregenerate soul? Nothing short of regeneration. Nothing short of it. In other words, this work of salvation in the experience of a man must start right at the very depths of his need, nothing short of a new birth can be of any use to him. Now, you can get a corpse, and instead of laying it out in a coffin, you can set it up in an armchair, you can deck it out in beautiful robes, you can have a beautician come and put all the art of the beautician to work, and you can make that corpse look as lifelike as possible. You can color its cheeks and put a glistening agent in the eye. You can do everything, but at the end of the day, it's a corpse still. Our churches are full of spiritual corpses, of people who have been dressed up in the garments of religion, and they have the rouge of self-righteousness put upon their cheeks. They are given the look-alike of life, and all the time they are dead in their sins. My friend, the great necessity is regeneration. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." And I would say this to you today. You are in this meeting. You need to face this. I stand before my God. I'm either alive or I'm dead. I must, if I'm still dead in sin, be born again. There must be a commencement of spiritual life within me. I need to be born again. That's what Jesus taught. Why must a man be born again? Very simple, because there's something radically wrong with your first birth. Your first birth is a birth in sin, a birth of Adam. And 1 Corinthians 15:22 says it categorically, in Adam all die. Romans 5:12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, in that all sinned. Something wrong with our first birth. It's hard for us to realize that, you know. You look at a babe born into the world, it's an object, usually at least, of great love, great welcome. It's hard for us to realize that the natural birth is a birth in Adam, a birth in sin. That's why you must be born again. You must be born again because you cannot be a Christian without being born again. Nothing else can make you a Christian without the new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If any man's not a new creature, he can't be in Christ. The church cannot make Christians. Baptism cannot make Christians. Good living cannot make Christians. Regeneration, the new birth, is absolutely essential to your being a Christian. Not only so, but heaven shut against you without being born again. John 3, and verse 3 puts it very clearly. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom shut to those who are not born again. You must be born again, or else remain dead and under condemnation forever. Now this, therefore, makes it a necessary act. Second thing I want to say about this work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration then is that it's a gracious act. If men by nature are all that I have described them from the Word of God, then clearly regeneration is not accomplished with reference to any human merit. Clearly, in fact, regeneration must be accomplished despite the greatest demerit. If men are dead, if men are incapable of spiritual good and only capable of spiritual evil, if men are bad, according to Ecclesiastes 9, and mad, according to the same verse, if they're the enemies of God, if their way is fully set in them to do evil, and they're resisting always the Holy Ghost, then obviously this act of regeneration is not done because of any good that's in them. It's done despite all the evil that's in them. It's the first thing. It's not done with reference to human merit. Take that a stage further. It's not done because of any act or series of acts of self-preparation on the part of the sinner. John 6:63, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, do not get me wrong here. Should a sinner seek his God? Yes, he should. Should a sinner get down to the Bible? Yes, he should. Should he seek to prepare his heart to seek his God? Yes, he should. These are the duties of all God's creatures. But at the end of the day, we have got to come down to rock bottom and realize this. When I look out in a lost world and see men set in sin, I've got to realize, look, if my God doesn't see of them, I can't see of them, and they certainly never see of themselves. There is no act that the carnal, wicked, depraved nature of man is capable of performing that can prepare them to make them ready for regeneration. They have the only qualification that a man can have to be regenerated. They're dead in trespasses and sins. That leads us to a third statement. And this will come as a shock to some. So don't just blow your wig off and not hear anything of the rest. Listen very carefully. Regeneration is not done as the result of any exercise of the human will. Of his own will begat he us. That's what the scripture teaches. Specifically, and this is the part, specifically, regeneration is not accomplished as the result of faith. Now let that sink in. Regeneration is not accomplished as the result of the exercise of faith. In fact, the very opposite is true. Faith is the result of regeneration rather than regeneration being the result of faith. I read the statement of a preacher just the other day where he said that he had no scripture, of course, but he said it anyway. Many preachers say many things without the scripture. He said, we must believe that regeneration is the result of faith. Otherwise, if we take it the other way around, that would mean that salvation was totally and completely according to what he called the arbitrary will of God. So what? I want to tell you, I'd far rather have my salvation depending on the will of God than depending on the will of this man or any other man. Salvation does depend on the will of God. But I want you to get this. Men are dead in sin. Dead men do not believe. That's all there is to it. Dead men do not do anything but remain dead. How then do men believe? Men believe as the result of an internal, supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit whereby he implants the divine seed within their heart. That seed is a life-giving seed, and as the result of that initial mysterious act of the Holy Ghost whereby he gives the principle of life to a man, immediately that life is expressed by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how men believe. I can prove that very simply. I can give it to you in the words of the Bible. Faith comes as the result of omnipotence. I want you to get that. Not too many preachers ever preach it, but I would to God they would. Somehow or other, preachers are afraid if they don't give men a big enough say in their own salvation, they'll not be saved. Well, let me tell you, it's time we began to do what the Bible did and give God his say in salvation, otherwise they won't be saved. Faith comes because God exercises omnipotent power. Now,
Those of you who have heard me preach often will know this verse in Ephesians chapter 1. I have to confess that I read Ephesians for years before the meaning of the words ever sank into my thick skull. And I have to confess that most other people have done the same. Now watch it very carefully. Ephesians chapter 1, we have Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. He's praying basically for three things for them. That, verse 17, God may give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Verse 18, that they may know what is the hope of their calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And three, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now that's what he's praying. Now, verse 19, here's Paul's prayer. That you may know, that I'm filling in from the previous verses that we may get the sense, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Now everybody's with me so far. There's no difficulty there. But look at the next phrase. That you may know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now let these words sink in. How do we believe? We believe according to the working of the very power that it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how I believe. Now that's not my word. That is the categoric statement of God the Holy Spirit. We believe according to the working of the power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Should that come as a surprise when he says when he saves you, he raises you from the dead? So the faith we exercise is not screwing up some ability of the flesh. It is, as Ephesians 2 and 8 says, the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's the first result in our lives of regeneration. Colossians 2 and 12 teaches again the operation of omnipotence to give us faith. And thus, regeneration is a gracious act of God. We didn't deserve it. In fact, the very opposite. We didn't prepare ourselves to receive it. In fact, the very opposite. We were resisting the Holy Ghost. It wasn't because we believed. We believe rather as the result of this. This is totally the act of God in grace. When I realized that, there was I, a poor, vile, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. With every muscle in my body, I was striving to oppose God and go to the pit. And yet God, out of the free grace that the Bible reveals, reached down and he saved this guilty soul. I can only say, with Jonah of old, salvation is of the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepress.org. That's faithfpc@freepress.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepress.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.